Blog Talk Radio.
It was very late at night. I was sitting outside on a rock. As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home. And I was just thinking, what did I do? I was crying so my family wouldn't see me. And all of a sudden, I saw a light coming towards me. When I saw the light, I thought it was a car. Because in Romania and in Italy, they always try to run me over with cars. So I thought, they found me here too.
Dar n-a fost mașină,
but it was not a car.
Că lumina m-a cucerit,
the light surrounded me.
Și din lumina m-a auzit aceeași voce.
And out of the light I heard the same voice.
Era același înger.
It was the same angel.
Dumitru, de ce ești tu disperat?
Dumitru, why are you so despaired?
De ce m-ai pedepsit așa de tare?
Why did you punish me so harshly?
Ce am făcut eu?
What did I do?
Ce nu m-ai lăsat pe mine în pușcărie?
Why couldn't you let me stay in prison?
Familia avea unde să stea.
But my family would have had a home.
Zic, eu n-am un implicat cap.
I don't have a bed to let my head down on.
De ce m-ai adus aici?
Why was I brought here?
Dumitru, te-am adus aici că țara asta va...
Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn.
De ce m-ai adus să mă ard aici și nu m-ai lăsat să mor în pușcărie în țara mea?
So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dumitru, taci.
He said, Dumitru, be quiet.
Urcă-te lângă mine.
Get beside me.
Ce aparat a avut, nu?
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el.
But he pulled me beside him.
Mi-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California. Do you see what I've shown you? This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească pentru.
And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va...
And one day it will burn.
Mi-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York.
Aici
this is a Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day it will burn. And then he showed me Florida. This is Florida. This is a Sodom and Gomorrah. And in one day it will burn.
You've been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dimitri Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more jeopardy than now. Please order a copy of the video Wake Up America at the handofhelp.com website and get the warning out while we still have time. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
Welcome tonight to the Light of Truth broadcast. This is Gene Schmidt. I'm hosting the program tonight because Mike has flown to Utah to do Hear the Watchman conference. And with me tonight is Jeff Sievertson. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you, Gino.
Tonight we find ourselves in our country seeing more and more the fulfillment of the words, prophetic words and dreams that Dimitri Dudeman gave. And I have had the blessing of working with Dimitri firsthand, and I've had the blessing of traveling with Mike. And so we want to discuss some of these important issues tonight and how they relate to what God has been warning America about, not only prophetically, but in the Bible and in the Word of the Lord. And so I know that we can say without a doubt we're in perilous times. And as a country, we can see that the fabric of America, much of it is unraveling. And you can see very clearly that now that when so many years ago that Dimitri talked about a possible civil war in America, it's very clear that the battle lines are being drawn and our country is headed for a civil war, an internal revolution. And so tonight I want to start off, Jeff, by basically talking about a couple news articles that have been just come out. One is just came out today, I believe, that a Missouri Democratic state senator says she hopes Trump is assassinated. And she came out on her Facebook page and basically posted, because of his response to the things that happened in Charlottesville, she would like him assassinated. And when in our history have we literally seen political leaders calling for the assassination of the president? It's unbelievable. And now she regrets it, and the Democratic Party in Missouri has asked for her resignation. But when leadership, when our president is being actually threatened right from people that are supposedly in political power, you know that the liberal establishment is absolutely furious with him being elected. And I don't believe that this is because of Trump's response the other day completely to what happened in Charlottesville. I believe that this element of hate has been brewing ever since Trump got elected. And if there was ever a time to pray for the president, it's now. But she's calling for his assassination. And you look at the comedian, the gal that had the caricature done with her in a picture holding a bloodied head of Donald Trump, Kathy Griffin. You can see that there's been a host of people, especially celebrities around the country, that have posted their disdain for the president. And so it's incredible the amount of vitriolic hatred out there that's even emanating from leaders in America. And do you have any opinion on that, Jeff, from your vantage point?
Well, it's interesting how you're pointing out that now that politicians are calling for it, but as you stated before, there have been others that have been calling for this for some time now. Of course, it starts a lot with celebrities who are to the very far left. To the much far extreme, they start to call for it, and then it starts to kind of move in. And I was listening to one show talk about this, and there was a particular former CIA agent that was also calling for the removal of Trump. He didn't go so far as to say assassinate, but he was making reference to that, you know, he needs to be removed from office. And the interviewer, I think this was on CNN, had asked him, he said, you're not really implying to actually assassinate the president or remove the president. And he just kept sidestepping it a little bit. And there was Chuck Schumer, who had also said several months back, where he was talking about that if you go against the intelligence agencies, you know, they could come at you six ways from Sunday and you'd never see it. And typically what I think this is for is, you start putting these feelers out to the public to where you can normalize it. If you remember that one fella, James T. Hodgkinson, he was from Belleville, Illinois. He actually moved to Washington, D.C. for a couple of years. He was the one that he went to the ballpark where the Republicans were having their ball game, and he actually hit the majority whip, Stephen Scalise, and hit a couple other cops before he was killed. And if you took a look at his Facebook page, the moment that happened, I started going on Facebook and I found his page and I did a whole bunch of screen captures. He was, of course, a far left person. He was a Bernie supporter type person. And he felt like he had to do something in order to stop the president and to stop the Republicans. And he felt like it's time for me to take action. And so when our leaders are now calling for leaders being, you know, political leaders and well-noted people in the public, when they start calling for this kind of stuff, what eventually will happen is you will have some nut job who will go out and do this because they think it's okay, I'm going to be supported for this, I might even get away with this. And so this leadership, both in media and in politics and in entertainment, they understand if I just keep throwing this out, eventually we'll get somebody who's just taken way too many of their meds and decides, hey, it's time to go do this. And I think we are definitely at that point what's interesting about this gentleman who came from Belleville, Illinois, we were talking about Dimitri Dudeman, Mike's grandfather, and one of the things that in the that was written back in, I guess, 1984 in September was this message to America. It said that when the Americans will think that it is peace and safety from the middle of the country, some of the people will start fighting against the government. I sat down and I was kind of curious because that actually popped into my head. And I took a look at where Belleville was located, and I looked at the U.S. government statistics on population and the center of population. And there's actually two slightly different points in the population depending upon how you tally the numbers. And it turned out that Belleville was in the middle of those two. And so literally from the middle of the country, somebody starts fighting against the government. He is literally going after Republicans and politicians and people in the government. I don't know if that's the trigger moment that Dimitri was pointing to. I think it's kind of the whole thing. You know, back in 1984 when he wrote this, we were a prosperous nation. The Soviet Union was in collapse. America was the dominant country. We were the main superpower. Prosperity was all over the place. You know, I was born in the 70s, grew up through the 80s, graduated around the time when the fall of the Berlin Wall had come. And it seemed impossible for us to ever get to this point where we could actually have a civil war right in our own nation. And now we are at that very spot. And what's interesting, what Dimitri had said also, he went on to say the government will be busy with internal problems. And at the time when that was written, I thought, well, if you've got a civil war going on, the government's going to try to stamp it out. But if you take a look at what's going on with Trump and the deep state that is now surrounding him, he is having problems internally within the government to try to even get anything done. And as we've seen with, you know, the knocking out of David Flynn and several other cabinet members that Trump had in, there's a lot of Trump loyalists that are no longer there. And one of the people that I was listening to, Roger Stone, who actually was instrumental in helping to get Trump in, who was also all the way back to when Nixon was in office. He was a Nixonite. He loved Nixon. He said what happened to Nixon long ago is very similar to what's happening to Trump right now. What they're doing is slowly isolating him to the point where he's not getting feedback coming in from his constituents, and he's not able to get his message out, and plus he's almost in a sense being surrounded and being cut off. So when you say we really need to pray for the president, that is an absolute, because imagine if Hillary got in there, how far down this road we would have already gone, how many more freedoms we would have lost. But Trump is in there, I think, by God's purpose. Of course, we know from Scripture, God is the one who sets up a nation. God is the one who puts in a leader for a purpose. And I can't help but think, as I heard one pastor say, that Trump was put in there to basically, I think it was actually Mike who said it, He said it wasn't a pardon, but a stay of execution. And so God is giving us time to repent. I think what Trump is also doing, just by the mere fact he's trying to make America prosperous again, it's revealing, how deeply entrenched these people are that want to destroy America.
Well, the other thing I want to say is I think the fight is a completely fight over morality. I believe
Oh, yeah.
The battle is a complete spiritual battle, that we are a country that is fallen in so many ways as far as immorality goes. And I believe that the battle lines that have been drawn, especially with him being elected president, I believe much of it is spiritual in nature.
Definitely.
The fact that every year Obama was in power, he declared June, I believe June or July, I think it was June, LGBT, month,
did
a presidential proclamation about it. And this time, this first year in office, Trump did not do that. And he also tried to eradicate the allowance of transgender people in the military. And you know, you've got to say that on a spiritual tone, that these are moves in the right direction for America. You know, to try to see America start turning back towards God. And I strongly believe, as you've mentioned, the amount of people that have threatened him. And I will say this as well. I remember a time when threatening the president usually was a jail sentence or a possible prison. And now, today, coming out in the news, you have a gal that came out and just basically said that she's for his assassination. And it's a Democratic senator from Missouri, as I said. And on her Facebook post, she was very clear about encouraging his assassination. And her name is Chappelle Nadal. She is a senator from Missouri, actually was rebuked by people from her own party. And it's incredible. And I'd like to also reference Jeremiah. I think if we look at the scriptures that God gave Brother Dudeman when he gave the message for America, Jeremiah 8, in the verse 13 and through 14, O thou that dwell on many waters, abundant in treasure, thine end is come, and the measure of thy covetousness. The Lord of hosts has sworn by himself, saying, surely I will fill thee with men as with caterpillars, and they shall lift up a shout against thee. And this shout against internal revolution is the, I have talked to Mike about it many times, and you look at what happened in Ferguson. You look at incredible internal strife. That was the middle of the country that started with that. You look at the riots in Milwaukee, Baltimore, the Berkeley campus, the firestorm, the political firestorm that took place there. And, you know, if ungodly people had their way on a political level, and the radical elements of totally anti-God thought in America, there is no doubt in my mind, had Clinton got in this last election, that would have flooded in our nation. I believe we would have faced severe consequences quick. You know what I mean? And it's a battle for what's right in front of God. And I'm not saying that I agree with everything about Trump, but I will say this. A president that says I'm not going to support gay pride parades, or I'm not going to endorse that, or I'm not going to write official proclamations, I believe that is important for our country. I believe that invoking God properly and not only just praying to God, but there's been several meetings in the White House where he has sought out some pastoral and Christian leadership counsel. And so for a senator to come out and actually specify she's for his assassination shows you how lack of respect there is for the office in general by people that ascribe to not only liberal thought, but the way to get rid of this guy is just kill him. And go ahead, Jeff.
I was going to say, you can probably, there's a pastor out of South Africa, well-known evangelist. I don't know from the standpoint of, you know, biblically speaking, where he stands, but you probably know his name, but he had come out and said that he was actually up on Capitol Hill visiting some senators, and he actually had the opportunity to go into the Oval Office, and there was a picture taken of a bunch of people placing their hands on the president, praying for the president, and that got tweeted out. And I don't think it's Rodney Carrington. I can't think of the name. He's a famous South African pastor, but he said that he went over to the Senate or Congress or the House and met several of his friends, and he said one of his friends in Congress, he said, if I mention the name, you know who it is, but I'm not going to mention his name. He said that we are being told up on the Hill that they are going to take the president out in the next 2 months. And this was back in middle of July that he said this. If I had time, I would look it up, but who this person was. But he said that they're going to take the president out. He says, what, you mean impeach? He says, no, they're going to actually take him out. And so he felt like he couldn't stay silent. So he went before his congregation, went public, and he was actually interviewed on, I think it was on Fox News and a couple of other shows about what he had heard. And thankfully he exposed it, because a lot of times the best way to stop some of this stuff is to just expose it, is just to make it known, because when it comes to light, then they start to back off on their plans. And the problem is that when you don't expose it, it's like the darkness believes that it's okay to move forward. And you probably know where the scripture is in the Old Testament, where it talks about God looking for a man who would stand in the gap, but there were none. And so I think with respect to us as believers, we need to be the ones standing in the gap through prayer, through sharing of information, through lifting this administration up, lifting our whole country up. Because if we don't step up in some way, shape, or form to expose this, it's almost like permission for the darkness to just move in and to take over. And unfortunately, we are in this position where we're at today because the church went quiet. And one of the things you had mentioned before the show, when we talked about coming on, was to take a look at the one prophecy that Mike Padilla had about the church. It was on September 2003, where he had the image of the woman who had all the fine jewels on, but she had this smile that just actually made you sad. And it was the state of the church as to the position that we've gotten into today, where we no longer call upon the Lord. We no longer call upon, we no longer have that power that we once had. And if we only knew the power that we had in our hands and on our knees, we would take advantage of it, but we don't.
Not only that, I would say this much. I would say without a doubt, even when Obama was in office, if you were at a rally and you raised up a sign, and some were arrested for doing that at some of his rallies, where they would raise up a sign, not so much threatening assassination, but threatening in some way, the Secret Service got a hold of them right away after that.
Yeah.
And I will tell you right now that we need to pray hard for this president, and we need to pray God help our country, because the very fabric of it is ripping apart. And you know, this window that God has given us, this window of time, which I believe many were praying around the country, I absolutely believe the hand of God was moved to give America, as Mike Padilla says, a reprieve, not a pardon. I absolutely believe people were standing in the gap. I believe there was many prayer meetings around the country. Our ministry heard about them. People that would go to different capitals around the country and hold a prayer rally. Many people were calling for prayer. There was a lot of prayer. And we saw absolute train wreck of that election, of where we would be had the forces of darkness prevailed, and the position that our country would be in, facing what? North Korea threatening to lob a nuke at us. Could you imagine having that being dealt with someone with no backbone and who espouses to such liberal thought that the thought of any kind of retaliation would be wrong? And that would have been Clinton without a doubt. And
that was the Obama's era, was strategic patience.
Yes, exactly. And I also want to move to another news story, which I find it interesting, that a Chicago pastor has just come out and said he would like George Washington's statue and removed from Washington Park in Chicago. He sent a letter to Mayor Emanuel calling for the removal of the statue. He would also like Andrew Jackson's name taken off Jackson Park. And he's trying to ascribe that, this is his quote, "When I see a person who fought for the liberties, and I see people that fought for the justice and freedom of white America because of that moment we were still in chattel slavery, and we were three-fifths human. Some people ask me, well, you know, he taught his slaves to read. That's almost sad. The equivalent of someone who kidnaps you, but they also gave you something to eat. So the perspectives out there, even of George Washington, and coming from a pastor, you know, where pastors should be encouraging the flock to pray for leaders, the history of America under George Washington being labeled as completely racist. And you can just see the fuel on the fire, you know. And again, this is part of our fabric, part of our heritage. And it's incredible that being 100 and however many days in office that Trump has been in, there's like a absolute clamor to get rid of him. Not only through the senator calling for his impeachment or assassination, but then Democrat from Tennessee coming out today and asking for his, or actually submitting articles of impeachment. And I will say one thing, I can say it unequivocally, that do not and would not like to see us get our leadership get in the hands of completely liberal, anti-God, anti-traditional marriage, anti-things that matter biblically, hands again. And, you know, there is no doubt there's a fight for the very fabric of the U.S., for the moral fortitude, for the heritage, for the foundations. And, again, as you mentioned, the guy that went to Washington and shot up the Republican baseball game folks there, the Mr. Scalise and others, totally did not go there on any peaceful terms, but hey, the best way to silence them is get rid of them. And again, with these underpinnings of calling for, you know, where does it stop? Where does it stop?
That's the thing. It's not going to stop. Yeah, it's not going to stop. They're going to push and push and push. It's one of the, as we're talking about this, a few weeks before the election back in November, before Trump won, and it was looking like Trump was not going to win. As I was thinking about scripture, as I was thinking about, like for example, you know, you pointed out Jeremiah, but also like in Revelation 18, when you take a look at that and you look at the description of a nation as or the nation of Babylon, you know, it says it's a nation, other nations will follow her sinful practice. The kings of the earth fornicate with her. Merchants are made rich selling to her. When you read through that description, it sounds like America, along with what's described in over in Jeremiah. And when I was thinking through about this whole thing about how could a civil war get started here in this nation, what would happen? I was thinking about Black Lives Matter up in Ferguson when that whole incident happened. It came and went, and it built up. But it didn't build up to a level that seemed like it would be on a large scale. And I was actually talking to my wife, and I said, I think Trump's going to get in. And she said, why do you think that? I said, because if Hillary gets in, these groups like Black Lives Matter, the Black Panthers, Occupy Wall Street, what are all these different liberal groups, they no longer have a need to fight against the government because they're now in power. But if an opposition power gets in, if Trump were to get in, they would find every need whatsoever to get to topple that power because they've lost control. And so they're going to do everything they can to get it back. And once evil has control, they never want to let it go. And if they don't have it, they're going to fight to get it back. And so I kind of felt like Trump was going to get in because there is this civil war that's going to take place in this country. And I often wondered, why would the nations blow this place up? Why would they nuke it? Why would it burn? And the only thought that came to mind was that if it could not be taken over as a last resort, it would almost be like their last ditch effort. We can't take them down. In fact, They're building back up their strength. If we ever let them build back up their strength, we'll never get them back down, so we have to take them out. And so as I see everything that Trump is doing, it kind of fits into place with what Scripture talks about, with what Dimitri had seen, and it's kind of scary to sit back and watch this. I can understand why Mike is getting upset and angry, because he now has, you know, one daughter, another one on the way. I have two girls. They're grown up. You have three or four sons. They're grown up. They're out in the world. But now it's like, what are we turning this, our kids over to? What is it? What world is our kids going to grow up in, or even our grandkids, or maybe even not? I mean, I think that I'm the last generation that will see a family that will, of my generation, that will be prosperous. I look and see where my kids are going to be, and I fear for what the future holds because of where we're headed. And so I can understand why Mike is getting angry. I can understand why Christians are getting angry. I can understand why we're reaching a point now, because now we're seeing conflict. This thing that happened in Charlottesville, is it West Virginia, that it almost seemed like a turning point. I was watching Tucker Carlson on Fox News. I'm even starting to turn Fox News off, but I was watching Tucker, and he said, there's something different about this. There is something unique in the fact that now there's another side fighting back. And because all the time we saw with Antifa going to places like Berkeley, all they would do, they burn the place down, and anybody who was peaceful would just leave. Same thing with some of the, when Ann Coulter was going to go back to Berkeley, they prevented her from doing it. But now you have an opposition that is starting to fight back. And whether they're white supremacists, neo-Nazis, or they're just angry conservatives, whoever the group is, because, you know, it was always just inflamed in the media as to who they were. I think there were those kind of groups there, but my point is that now we're seeing a change, and I fear that this is not going to settle down. I want it to settle down, but I'm fearful. I don't, and let me ask your opinion. How do you think this is going to go? Is it going to continue to escalate? Is it going to plateau? Do you think it's going to go back down? What do you think?
Well, I honestly think there's power in prayer. You know,
definitely.
Nobody ever thought Trump would get elected, you know.
Yeah.
But through prayer and really calling on God, God moved this mountain. And it does matter who you have in leadership, and it matters who you have at the top. And when you have someone at the top, yes, mistakes will be made for sure. He's never really been in any kind of political office of any major level. But I'll be quite honest about it. There's never more important time to pray than now.
Yeah.
I believe that God asked through, you know, God asked the church to repent. God called, the message for America is a message of calling the church to repent. And if you study out the message that God or that Dimitri was given, the angel of God made it clear to him that, you know, he was to yell with a loud voice and tell the church to turn back to the Lord and repent. And I honestly believe, in this volatility that's in a war against conservative values in many ways, I strongly believe that there's a tremendous battle right now in that realm of, you know, if the church prays, if they call out to God, if they cry out, if they stand up, speak up, be strong, you know, I believe God can still move these mountains. And I believe the timing of the ultimate civil revolution, like Mike put it well, I think he put it well, had Clinton been elected, the wall would have been hit at 180 miles an hour, you know.
Yeah.
With Trump getting elected, it's the car's hitting it at 45. You know, I think we know.
Yeah.
It's actually quite a funny, you know, analogy, but I think it's clear what he's saying, that there's this chance, this possibility. Now, I strongly don't believe America is going to avert judgment. I don't believe that, and I don't think Mike believes that. But as far as the Civil War and just the absolute complete devoidance of order and complete anarchy, I think we're seeing the seeds of the hostilities grow.
That's a good way to put it.
I think America's in such a balance that I believe it's up to the church to pray and really call on God and live right and appreciate the time God does give, you know, of this season of I think it's a season of opportunity. I think it's a season, like Mike said, a reprieve, you know.
How long it lasts, God knows. Yeah. I'm glad you keep pointing out prayer, because I was watching another special, and I think it was Michelle Bachmann who was talking about this, and there was a point on the night of election where the world began to pray. They actually showed where churches gathered together in other nations and also here in America, and she was showing this chart because the polls, you know, the exit polls in the beginning were showing Clinton, and there was a point at which the church began to pray. People went to church and prayed. People around the nation began to pray, and they said they started showing this chart, and it was a graph, and it showed at the point when the world actually – there was like a call for prayer. All of a sudden, they started seeing this swing, and the swing, of course, eventually brought Trump into the White House and threw Hillary her chances out, and it was almost like this empirical evidence that demonstrated that if you seek the Lord – if you go to the Lord and you sincerely pray and ask, you know, call for repentance, repent yourself and God to heal our land, God can do anything. But if a nation decides they don't want to do anything, if the church says, if they're fatalistic and act as if, you know, there's no point in praying, it's just the way it is. I think that night, actually, my wife and I and my youngest daughter, we stayed up all through the night because we were so shocked to see that change and that shift that had occurred. And, of course, we were praying, but we were still thinking, this isn't going to happen. And so it was almost as if my daughter got the opportunity to see an actual miracle take place on a national scale.
Well, I'll be blunt about it. I think until Florida, the Trump campaign was planning on losing. They weren't sure.
They were.
And I think the Clinton campaign was planning on winning. Nobody thought that he would ever win Wisconsin and Michigan. You know, no one thought that Florida was up in the air. And I'll tell you what, I'm absolutely a firm believer that prayer moves the hand of God. You know, why is Mike concerned talking about having his daughter and another child on the way? Because, you know, we're not a ministry that gloats about judgment. We know what God's going to allow over America. We know and are very aware of the sin of America. We're very aware about, you know, we firmly stand behind the messages of God because they're 100% from God's heart and God's mouth. We also believe in the power of prayer. And can God change the clock back a little? Yes, he can. He did in the Bible. Can God add years? Yes, he did. In the Bible, you read the story of that. And can God?
Are you thinking of Hezekiah?
Hezekiah. And I'm reading 2 Chronicles 7:14, and I believe it's a powerful scripture. If my people, called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Do I absolutely believe any president that declares June or July Gay Pride Month is asking for judgment? Absolutely. I believe I believe that politicizing evil, and we put up with it many years under Obama because it seemed like any wicked thing or evil thing he supported. He supported abortion to the level of partial birth abortion. He supported transgender bathroom changes. They tried to shove down the throat of military leaders, remove the Bibles from the Air Force hotels and the Air Force hotels on base. I mean, putting gay people in leadership and every vile, wicked thing. I'll be honest with you. I don't hold Trump on a high pedestal. You know, I hold Jesus on, I believe Jesus is the king that we ultimately serve. But I will say one thing, I'm a whole lot happier he's in power any day than Clinton, and I'm very glad Obama's out of power. And I believe that God's calling the church to do the same thing that they did when the election was, you know, let's face it, the election was not a shoe-in for Trump on any level. And
that was just,
you know,
the beginning.
I believe he actually has, I believe he has a sensitive side to the church. I believe he has an ear towards trying to do some things right in front of God. And I absolutely believe he's been unfairly had a absolute bunch of folks just literally try to take power away from him from day one since he's been elected. And to me, it's a source of the fact that I think in some arena, the powers of hell and the evil forces of darkness are, you know, saw that their person did not win at that election. I think it would have been a quick fall for America had Clinton got in. I don't think the government would face North Korea properly in that kind of liberal, hey, we can't shoot first mentality that we saw with Obama. I believe liberal powers and liberal entities in America have tried to disarm America. They've tried to reduce the nuclear arsenal to little of nothing. If they had their way, we probably wouldn't even have the ability to arm ourselves properly. And then you've got Trump telling Korea, if you do this, I'll do that. And in fact, what I'll do is going to be very bad for you guys. You know what I'm saying? And so I strongly believe that our nation's in the balance. I do believe that who we have as president is better than what we would, who we would have had. And again, looking at North Korea, which is going to be the next place that I want to go right now to talk a little bit about. But, you know, Mike Buldeo had a dream. It was a very powerful dream. I happened to be with him. I traveled with Mike for 18 years, but I happened to be with him when the angel of God gave him the interpretation of the dream. And I do want to go to that. It's on our Hand to Help website. And the dream is a telling dream, June 1st, 2013. And this is the dream that he had over Memorial Day weekend. I was scheduled to speak in Lake Havasu, Arizona. Since Las Vegas was the closest major airport and by far the cheapest ticket, Gene and I flew there, having planned to spend the first night upon our arrival somewhere in the area, then make the drive to the meeting the next day. After a four-hour flight, some misunderstandings with the car rental agent, and a couple hours to get acclimated to the heat, we checked into our room without further incident. That night I had a dream. I dreamt I was standing beside a path leading into a forest, and although snow blanketed the ground, the path was still visible, clear and well-defined. Although I wasn't cold in my dream, I could see my breath, and as I looked around trying to understand what I was seeing and why I was seeing it, a beautiful buck made its way up the path towards me. Although I can't say I've seen many bucks up close, this seemed like a fine specimen, regal in its bearing, almost prancing up the path with its head held high. I stood beside the path unmoving, not wanting to spook the animal in any way. If it saw me, it did not let it show as it passed by and continued trotting down the path. I continued to watch it follow the path towards the forest until suddenly it veered off and began to make its way through the packed snow. Although its pace slowed and it was having a difficult time making headway, once it veered off the path, the buck seemed stubborn in its insistence, and though progress was slow, it continued its march. I started to look around for something else, not really understanding what I was seeing or why I was seeing it, when a sharp crack drew my attention back to the buck. Although the animal was a good distance from me, I could see what had happened with great clarity. The buck had stepped into a hole which had been masked by the snow and snapped its front left leg. I didn't know what else to do, so I just stood and watched as it forced itself up. And though evidently in great pain, it began to continue on its journey away from the path. Its progress was slow. I could hear the echoes of its bleeding, but wounded it was the animal. But wounded as it was, the animal was insistent in its purpose. After some time, the buck stopped suddenly, sniffed at the air, and an instant later, the mournful sound of howling wolves reached my ears, and I understood what the buck had smelled. With renewed vigor, the buck tried to run, but hampered by its wound, its progress was slow. I was so focused on the buck that at first I did not acknowledge the movement in my peripheral vision. But as they drew closer, I shifted my focus and could see the source of the howls approaching swiftly. At first it was one wolf, then two, then five, then an entire pack, all in a semicircle chasing down the wounded buck as it tried to flee. I was anxious to see what would happen, strained to see every detail, but as the wolf pack drew closer and closer to the buck, I woke up. Now, he goes on to give the interpretation of the dream, which God gave him very clearly. And here's what it was. The angel appeared, and we were actually in a hotel room together. And apparently I was snoring, and Mike was ready to throw a pillow at me. And right at that moment, the angel of God appeared to him. And the angel asked your question, he said. Why can't I see what happens? Why can't I see the end of the dream? I asked, because it's inconsequential. This is what the angel said. The instant the animal wandered off the path and wounded itself, its end was a certain and foregone conclusion. It matters not which wolf fells it. Of course, the animal stands for America. Once it is felled, they will all feast. The same can be said of this nation with one exception. The animal had no one to help it. This nation rejected the help offered it, believing it could heal its own self of the wounds it had inflicted upon itself. The wolves have gathered. They sense the weakness. They smell the blood. They are confident in the outcome of their endeavor. In an instant, the man was gone, and I found myself standing halfway out of bed with a pillow in my hand, pondering what I heard. Now, look at what's written now, right after this. We reject repentance at our own peril. We reject righteousness, sanctification, and the pursuit of holiness to our own detriment. Though there is safety on the narrow path, we have taken it upon ourselves to blaze our own trail, indifferent to the untold perils and dangers awaiting those who stray. Amen? And
amen.
I think we're clearly in that mode of time right now, where we see these enemies surrounding America. I think it, all the things are coming together, and I would hope that every Christian, every church, everyone that names the name of God would realize the message of God is one of repentance. It's a message of turning back to the Lord biblically. It's a message of sanctification and holiness. And do I believe those wolves are surrounding America? Absolutely believe you can see it happening with Russia, China, Korea, the Mideast. You can see it very clearly. And that the word nuclear war, you look at the last 2 years, it's come out of some of these leaders' mouth. Putin mentioned it. The leader of Korea's mentioned it. I will tell you, 15 or 20 years ago, would have been almost unheard of for a leader to say, hey, we're going to lob a nuke at America. And now it's almost like America's the brunt of many of these leaders coming out clearly and saying, you know what, if we get into it with America, I know Russia has mentioned it, they've talked nuclear retaliation, they've talked nuclear war, period. So go ahead, brother.
Well, one of the things that Dmitry had mentioned is that the Russians discovered where the nuclear storehouses were. And I was looking for the article. I couldn't find it. But a few years back, I came across an article which had mentioned that under the first Clinton administration, hopefully the only one, there was secret information that had gotten out to the Russians that they understood exactly where our nuclear warehouses were, and there was really nothing we could do about it. They just knew where it was, and that's all there was to it. And then, of course, it was one of these stories that was like on, you know, the back page, and you know, certainly wasn't headline news, but there it was. It was put out there that out in the open that they already know where these things are. And like you said, growing up in the 80s, the 90s, even 10 years ago, even during like the Gulf War or during 9/11, you know, it wasn't this big talk of nuclear war. And now, like you said, they are talking about it openly as if like it's a foregone conclusion that this is going to be a tactic of war that they're going to use. They're not going to use conventional weapons. They're going to use nuclear weapons. They're going to use neutron bombs, whatever they EMPs, they're going to go for it. And this stuff was never talked about before, especially, you know, long ago. Now, it was talked about, of course, during the Cold War, but once the Cold War was over, once the wall came down, America became the big superpower, it felt like there's just no way that anybody could touch us. There's no way that we could ever get to this position where we look like we're a paper tiger. You know, we are. When Trump talks about, you know, that the infrastructure has crumbled and China is much better than our infrastructure, this country has really fallen apart at the seams, not just physically, but also spiritually. And like you said, the wolves are circling. They understand that the buck has injured itself. It can't get out of the hole. It's now vulnerable. And we are clearly in a vulnerable position. And it's only by the grace of God that we are going to make it through for any extended period of time. What happened at the election, as the churches came together to pray, to me, that was a clear indication that God is still listening to us. We haven't reached that point, like it says in the Old Testament, where it says that if, you know, Moses and Daniel and David were in the land, I would not spare it except for them. I would only spare them, but not for them. And so hopefully we're not in that position yet where God says, enough, I'm done. I will only spare those that are mine. The rest of the nation must go.
Yeah.
So hopefully we're not at that position. Hopefully the church continues to press in like they did back in November and continue to pray for this nation and not stop. Because I think once the church gives up and God can't find that man to stand in the gap, then that's it.
Yeah, and I think, again, just reading the whole dream here that Michael had, and I was with them you know, in Arizona and Nevada when he had the interpretation. But look what look what he puts here. The wolves have gathered, the hunt begins, and this weakened nation is the prey. I will now repeat what I preached on during one of the aforementioned meetings because I believe it's relevant, timely, and apropos. The level of your relationship with Christ today will determine whether you stand or fall by the wayside tomorrow. Know that you are resting in Him, know that you draw your strength from Him, and know that you have placed your hope and trust in Him. On the Christ, the solid rock, we stand, for truly all other ground is sinking sand. And I find it amazing, brother, I was in Kenya, of course, during the Civil War there, when they had the election, and my team ended up pretty well being in the middle of the Civil War, we were just, by God's grace, we all got out of there alive, you know, supernaturally.
Yeah.
But I kind of see the same seeds of what happened in Kenya happening in the U.S., you know.
Yeah.
There it was the Kikuyu and the Luo tribes. Here it's Republican Democrat. There it was over presidential election. Here we have it over a presidential election. There it started out with racial and tribal warrings and differences, and we see the same thing here in the name of politics, in the name of Confederate statues versus presidential statues or whatever, and there's a lot of similarity. And I happened to, when I came back from what we went through in Kenya, I was speaking in Houston, Texas, and before I got there, a man had a dream, and the man said that what this brother speaks about will happen in America. and is coming to America. And at that church, I happened to share about what the Lord showed Dimitri about what was coming to America. And I had a different message planned, decided that wasn't what the Lord wanted, shared about, you know, the Wake Up America message, and that brother had told me about the dream he had after I shared the message at his church. And
yeah.
I think it's very important for everyone to realize, while we've got this window, just stand up for the Lord in your community. You know, defend what's right, defend the faith. We're doing it in our community. We've had some major victories in my hometown in the last 6 months, major ones. God has shut down a lot of bad things in our community. We've been proactively trying to defend Christian values. And now in this city that our headquarters is in with Hand to Help, some of the worst clubs have been shut down. They've been denying liquor licenses to some establishments they don't feel are good for the city. A male strip show did not happen because Christians came together and opposed it. All the porn shops were shut down pretty much, where they were selling magazines and that. Family Video wanted to come in and bring a 2,000 square foot section of porn. That was opposed. And they decided not to do that. So when you defend God and the faith, God defends you, and God will stand up for you. And I strongly believe this reprieve that we have, we need to take every bit of advantage of it. You know,
yeah,
have call on God while what? He's got an ear to listen. And like you said, I think you made a great point, Jeff, it's not the point of no return yet, you know.
Yeah. And this gives us a great opportunity to share the gospel with the lost, because all of this calamity is creating distress, and people are wondering, where is this going? Why is this happening? What will happen? You know, and kids are also thinking about their, or parents are also thinking about their children. And this is, I think, a wonderful, I don't know if you use the word breeding ground, but it's a great opportunity in this moment to share the gospel with the lost, with your family, with your friends, maybe people you haven't talked to in a long time, call them up, share the gospel again, because you may have shared it 20 years ago and they didn't want to listen. Well, guess what? They may be now willing and open and ready to listen to it. Because I think the atmosphere that's being created here is giving us an opportunity to share with the lost. Definitely the church needs to repent, but also the church needs to get up on their feet and start taking action and start really sharing the gospel, because it's light right now. Because when the dark comes, that's when we can't work anymore. But we have light for now.
Amen. Yeah, amen. And you know, it's comfort thing, very comforting too. Again, with Mike's dream at the end, you know, stay close to Christ, stand for the Lord, you rest in Him, draw your strength from Him. And honestly, with all due respect to Mike, I can tell you one thing, that he's not in any way, despite having his beautiful wife and kids, he knows that however time God does give us, these opportunities that are God-given, we need to take advantage of them, you know?
Yeah.
And he's still speaking, we're still speaking, still going out, sharing at churches. And as many days as God gives America and this time that we're in, let's use it for lifting up the Lord and standing for the things of God. Well, Jeff, thank you for doing this program with me tonight.
Well, thanks for having me.
It was great having you on. Great having you on, my brother.
Love to come on. It's fun.
All right. And all you that listen in tonight, thank you so much for listening. God be with you. We continue to pray for our leader and leaders, and pray for our country, and pray for your community to be a light. God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, You can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you. They are